Welcome back to Shakedown Chance. So glad to have you guys back again this week. Hope you all had a great weekend last weekend and a great week this week. It's Americade week up here. And for those of you who don't know, it's crazy. Motorcycles everywhere. And I live up north where it's all taking place. And they're loud. It's been not the greatest week ever for them. It's been kind of overcast for a few days at the beginning, the first 3 days, and kind of chilly compared to what it has been. And luckily, yesterday was a good day. Today was a good day. I thought it was going to rain there for a little bit. But just a few raindrops, they went away. So for those of you who don't know, Americade is a week-long biker motorcycle event. I'm not really sure like what it was started for, though.
I think it was to raise money for the Hole in the Woods camp years and years ago. And I still think it's probably...
I know they raise money for something.
Yeah.
I think biker groups are great. They do a lot for charity. A lot of people think they're mean, nasty people, but they're really not. They're really great people. They raise money for charities. They do all sorts of things. And plus, they get to see beautiful rides.
Yeah, they do a lot, I know, like Toys for Tots at Christmas time.
Yeah, they're really great people. But it's really cool. You can go to Lake George. You can see all the bikes. They usually have a car show going on. And so I haven't been up there this week yet. Maybe I'll go. Maybe I'll just miss out this year. But glad to have them in the area. They're definitely helping out local businesses, which is good. And so anyway, for anyone that may be tuning in to the live video on Facebook, I'm not sure if it's working. It says it is, but it's kind of frozen right now on my computer. I'm not sure why. I usually do it off my phone, so I'm trying something different today. So if you're watching, pop me a comment, tell me it's working. If not, I guess you'll just have to go listen to it later. Anyway, so last weekend I did some fishing and I actually caught something. I caught two little rock bass, little Rockies, and I actually think I caught the same one twice. He was my little friend.
Same one twice?
I think so. I mean, I caught him, I threw him back, and then I caught the same kind of fish in the same area.
You should bring a waterproof magic marker and put SS for Shakedown Chan. And then if you catch him again, you'll know.
Then I'll know. but it was a great day. I spent the day up at Stewart's Pond again, and the sun was out. It was gorgeous. It was beautiful. Got a lot of swimming in. The water was a lot warmer than last time. And had a great day. Had a fire. It was good. A little fire safety tip for any of you people that like the outdoors. And for those of you who don't like the outdoors and find yourself out there. If you have a fire, you can't leave it hot. You can't leave any hot ashes or embers, because we showed up in the morning. Nobody had been there in a while because it's just a day area. So you're not supposed to be there at night. Maybe there was somebody there, but the ashes were still hot. Ooh. And we put some sticks and stuff on it, and it caught fire as soon as we put the sticks on it and everything. Cool for us. It started a fire, but not cool for if like wind came and blew a bunch of stuff on it.
Wow.
Could start a forest fire. So protect
dry,
your environment.
So, yeah.
So anyway, let's see. Today I drove up to Saranac Lake, and it was absolutely beautiful. Saw some high peaks. Literally, the mountains were going through the clouds. The tops of the mountains were through the clouds.
Oh, really?
It was incredible. I'm definitely doing my next hike up in Saranac Lake.
Where do you go today?
Yeah, I drove up there today, and it was absolutely beautiful. I was moving some cars around. So, let's see. I think I had something else from my week for you. I just keep clicking on the wrong app. Oh, I'm getting a puppy.
What kind?
He's a golden retriever, beagle mix.
Okay.
And guess what his name is?
What is it?
Rothbard.
Rothbard?
Yeah, he's a... all my libertarian friends would know that Murray Rothbard is an economist and a libertarian philosopher.
Okay.
And so that's what he got his name
now
from.
Is his name going to fit on a dog tag?
I hope so.
Small letters.
If it's a bone,
yeah,
it might.
Yeah.
That's long.
How old?
He's going to be 8 weeks when I pick him up.
Wow, neat. So you're going to have to potty train him and everything.
Yeah, hopefully doggy daycare will help out with that. I got all that set up. I'm trying to reconnect my live feed here, and it's just not working. So I'm trying, guys, I'm trying. So anyway, let's see, getting a puppy. I've been growing sunflowers at work, and they've been doing really, really good. And they're getting pretty tall, except the third one that I planted wasn't doing so well. The other two were towering over the third one, and I couldn't figure it out. So I took it out and transplanted it in two different pots. And it's getting a little taller, but the leaves are still not doing too well, but I am trying to save it.
Fertilizing it?
Yep, I put some fertilizer in it and just been keeping it in the sun because they love the sun. So I'm trying to get this live feed back up for my Facebook viewers, but we will keep going on with the show. So, anyway, yeah, I'm getting a puppy, and I think animals are great to have for companions. They're a great source of positivity. If you're feeling lonely, get a pet. They help out a lot. They're great hiking animals. Yep. Dogs are, yep. Not cats. Don't bring our cat hiking.
No. We had a dog, American Pit Bull, that for 9 years that passed away New Year's Eve day, and we were going to wait to get one, but we couldn't take it. So about 2 months later, we got another pit bull, and they're so cute. I mean,
I love pit bulls.
Yeah, she was when we got her, she was like 3 months old, I think. And they're amazing animals, smart, and they love the outside. And and like you said, it's nice having a dog to walk with, and mm-hmm. You know,
my pup is gonna go camping with me the first weekend I have it.
Oh,
with the Cub Scouts.
Oh,
it should be exciting. It'll go hiking, swimming, camping, all the good stuff. So my live video keeps stopping, so we're just gonna be done with that. So anyway, so as most of you probably heard, there was a Supreme Court case that just went on with a baker refusing to bake a cake for a gay wedding. And so people were upset about that and brought it to the Supreme Court to demand this guy bake a cake for these people. I think it's ridiculous that they tried to get law involved in it. I mean, so we have this thing called freedom of association, where you are free to, it's exactly what it says, you're free to associate with whomever you feel like. And for your private business, you should be allowed to choose who you do your business for and who you don't. If this guy doesn't believe in gay marriage, he shouldn't have to bake a cake for that person or for that couple. He doesn't want his product standing for something that he doesn't believe in. And I think that's perfectly fine. There's plenty. A lot of people will say it's discrimination. Okay, well, I feel like businesses, especially private businesses, have the right to discriminate against who they feel, as long as they're not being violent about it. This guy has strong beliefs that he didn't want to go against, and people took this case to the Supreme Court to try to force him against his beliefs to bake this cake. So, like I said, I think private businesses have the right to discriminate against who they feel like. And in a free market society,
you can take your business elsewhere.
Right.
And you vote with your dollar. And so it's easy enough to, if you're not going to, if someone's not going to do business with you, to take your business elsewhere. And it's not like he's the only cake baker.
Right. Well, I can see if they came into his store and wanted him to bake a cake. And he said no. I think that's that would be a problem.
Here we go again. We have Darth Vader
again.
Oh
my gosh, I gotta turn this off.
We should turn it into the Darth Vader and Shannon show.
Yeah, really. I tell you.
No, it's okay. Hello? Good thing I like Star Wars. So anyway, I feel like this baker has the right to say he's not going to make this cake for them. And I don't think law should have been involved at all. I do believe that people have the right to be angry about him not making the cake. And they have the right to boycott that, because that's how you fix things in the market, is by boycotting. And it's not by getting government involved. And luckily, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of this private business owner in his right not to bake the cake for these people. However, they didn't rule it because of freedom of association. They ruled it
freedom of, or because of religious
beliefs.
Because
of religion. Which, I don't know about you, but I thought government was supposed to be secular.
Well, no, they didn't rule on the religious part of it. They let that alone. They didn't say no because of religious reasons. They just said that, I guess, you know, if you have a business and you don't want to sell your product, you have the right. I was talking with somebody though, and you carry on your thought, but and they said, in a way, I mean, I'm glad they did, they backed this fellow up.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
They said, you know, what happens if a black person comes into your store and you're not going to sell because he's black? In a way, that is, I can see, although if they came in the store and wanted to buy a cake, I could see them doing it. But to make a wedding cake, that's what they felt was against their beliefs. So that's why they turned them down.
Yes.
You know?
And like selling a cake, like if you're somebody that works for the business and you're selling the cakes for the business, you don't actually own it and you deny people, that's not really up to you. It's up to the business. And this guy had this business of making cakes, and it was something that he owned. And so he has every right to decide who he's not going to sell to, no matter what. I think no matter what. If he sold to me because I was white, I mean, he has the right to not sell me that cake. Okay, well, I'm going to tell everybody else that you did that. We're going to boycott you, and you're probably going to go out of business because that's what you can deem that racist.
Right.
And so you're going to go out of business. And that's how that works. You don't need to get the government involved. But he has every right to do that nonviolently. And as long as, like I say, he's not doing it violently, he's not really harming you. You have plenty of other places to go, and you have lots of people that would support you in boycotting this and trying to put him out of business. Not only is this bringing this case to the Supreme Court outrageous, it probably cost this guy a lot of money. And you're trying to, okay, so you're trying to say this guy is denying business. Why would he do that? Okay, well, you're also making him spend lots of money. So instead of saying, why is he denying a little bit of business here, you're taking money away from him into this legal battle, and that's going to cost him more than you just saying, well, okay, I'll bring my business elsewhere. And he would have been perfectly fine with that, obviously.
6 years it's been going on.
Yeah, I heard about this a while ago. And I thought this was like another case, but it's not. And so anyway, one of the judges, I was listening to Dave Smith the other day, his Part of the Problem podcast, which I absolutely love. And he was saying one of the judges that ruled this was Sonia Sotomayor.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually read her autobiography. I read it my first year in college. And her background story is absolutely incredible. She came from a really rough background and made something of herself. And I suggest everybody read it. It's really, really cool. Of course, we read it because we had feminism shoved down our throats because I went to an all-girl private school, and which really wasn't all-girl private school because the theater majors allowed males in because it's hard to do a play with all females.
Sure.
And we do have a second campus in Albany that's co-ed, and so people from there could take classes at our school.
Now, was that in high school?
No.
Oh,
college.
Okay. Oh, in college. Okay.
Yep. And so anyway, we had feminism shoved down our throat. And so we had to read this empowering book about a woman in Supreme Court. It was a good book, though. It's a good book.
Yeah.
It was. They could have picked a lot of other books, too. But I recommend you read it. It was a good book. There are some things that I did enjoy.
Yeah. Well, it gives you views on different things. And, you know,
it's just cool to hear that she helped rule this ruling with the Supreme Court, and that I actually know who she is. Like, I actually know at least somebody, not personally, but I know about somebody in the Supreme Court. She's the only one.
Yeah.
I couldn't
but
give you
the it's
name
unusual
to anybody else.
That it went 7-2. Usually it goes party line.
Yeah.
You know.
It was
more so than normal, but it was 7-2, which, you know, that's what they felt, which is good. I mean, I think they're standing up for somebody's right
to choose.
To choose.
To choose. And like I said, he didn't do it violently. He turned away their business, and he had every right to. So speaking of what's in the news lately, today I saw somebody bring up Stormy Daniels. She's still in the news.
Gosh.
She's still making headlines. It's crazy. I'm not sure when. I mean, we see presidents' personal lives in the news all the time, but like, honestly, I don't care. I really don't care. And all you see is the left just trying to, they don't even hate Trump for good reasons. They don't. All they have to hate about him is he's orange, is what they say about him. He's orange, he has small hands, he's uneducated, and he's terribly immoral. We all knew he was terribly immoral.
Right.
That doesn't surprise anybody. And his personal life, honestly, it's none of my business. All I care about is what he's doing as president of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Which has been a lot. I mean, since he's been in, he's done a lot. And now in 3 days, he flies to, what is it?
North Korea?
Singapore?
Singapore.
Hong Kong? To meet with the South or North Korean.
Yeah, he has that summit.
Yeah, and that's going to be amazing. No other president's done that. And, you know, they've been trying for 52 years. And, I mean, you know, if he can pull this off, they'll still say he's orange and small hands, and they won't give him credit.
Right. And that he's racist.
Yeah.
And maybe he is, but do you see him violently acting?
But you know what?
Out of racism?
I mean, in all honesty, what is he racist about? I think there's a lot of people that have a problem with illegal aliens and what they siphon off from the country. And they didn't come in the way normal immigrants should come in. And there's 11 million undocumented. And he wants to stop that. I don't think that's being a racist.
See, the way I feel about immigration is these people wouldn't be trying to come over so bad. And we wouldn't have an illegal immigrant problem if we didn't have the social programs that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way we tackle immigration is we get rid of social programs. Nobody's going to want to come here then.
Right.
We're a terrible country. Flint, Michigan is still dealing with a water crisis. There's homeless people everywhere. There's sex trafficking everywhere. We're really not much better than a lot of other places. The only thing that makes us seem a little better is that we have social programs, and that's what draws people in.
Right.
And that comes out of our money, and that's where the problem, our own money, American taxpayer money, and that's where I think the solution to this problem becomes. And I just think that becoming an American citizen should be made simpler. It takes years and years and years to try to become.
Well, he wants to update the immigration policy, and I think he does want to shorten it up.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you just can't do it yourself. You have to have the politicians behind you, and they're afraid to get behind them because they want all these free people in here so they can vote.
Yes. And so I'm not a Trump supporter, but I'm also not a Trump naysayer. I understand how he got to office, but I'm still to this day, I find myself thinking, how do we have this guy here? Like, how did this happen? I understand how it happened, but it still blows my mind that he actually made it. I didn't think that Republicans would let him get there.
Well, yeah, but I mean, look at who he was running against.
I know. One.
But even the other people that he was primarying, he resonated
with a lot of people.
A lot of people, because he was an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
And
people were fed up.
Right, with politics. And that's why I think we need a third party. We talked about this on previous shows. Mm-hmm. We need a third party real bad. We don't have enough choice because
people, the Democrats don't stand for what they used to, and the Republicans don't stand for what they used to. They're all, Democrats are basically socialists now, and Republicans are not as conservative as they claim to be. And both parties are war hawks.
Yep.
And they don't do anything good for the country. People are just fed up. They don't stand for what they were meant, what they say they stand for.
When one party's in power, they say things that the other party is against. And when that party's in power, they say the things that the other party said. And they're both the same type of people, if you want to know the truth. I mean,
they are.
They just.
So I'm not, like I said, I'm not a Trump supporter and I'm not a naysayer. I do not agree with the wall, because no matter what you do, people are going to get here. You put a wall up, they're going to fly a plane. They're going to do something. It's just going to be a waste of money and a waste of time. And I honestly, you're not getting Mexico to pay for it. And I'm not paying for it either.
They won't pay, because
it's not going to happen.
The president that's probably going to be elected is a socialist, and he could care less. Well, see, that's the thing about Mexico. They could care less. They let people through the country from South America that are drug people. And they want them to come over to the United States so they can sell their drugs and send money back to their countries. I mean, that's where a lot of our drugs come from.
And our government.
Yeah.
They're a huge reason for all the cocaine in the country. That whole, I can't remember what president it was under. I really can't remember, but they got caught in this big cocaine shuffling deal into the country. And that spiked a cocaine issue thanks to our government.
Yep.
And that just gives them more reason for the war on drugs, which I want to have a huge episode on. I'm still getting things together for it because I want it to be a really, really good episode. I've got a lot of things to say about it. But anyway, so Trump, I feel I don't care about the wall. I don't like it. And he said he wasn't going to go to war with Syria. Mm-hmm. Went to war with Syria. Dropping bombs on Syria. Stay out of it. It's not our country. It's not our problem. Stay out of it. Just pull out. Get our people home. Stop killing people. Stop killing our people. We don't need to be over there. They're having a civil war. that these people are going to be terrible to each other. The government's going to be terrible to the people. You didn't see people getting too involved in our civil war.
No.
They're like, you guys can take care of this.
Well, there was some country that gave the South money, mm-hmm. but I mean, you know, it's always the same thing. They've fought over there for thousands of years. They're going to keep fighting no matter what.
You're not going
to
stop
it. You get one group in that's supposed to be good. They end up turning bad. It's like when our country, when the Pilgrims came over here, they came over to escape religious persecution. So what did they start doing? If anybody believed different from them, they would burn them as witches or hang them. Mm-hmm. So they escaped that from England, and then they put that into practice here because people didn't believe what they wanted, right. And you're supposed to have religious freedom.
Exactly.
So things never change.
No. I mean, you just get one extreme to the next. And so the war in Syria is something that I don't agree with, that I don't like. So Trump's not terrible. He's not great either, though. He's just, I don't really know how I feel about him. It's kind of like midway. It could be worse. But he's not really doing the absolute best that he could be. But this step with North Korea is definitely a big step. And I feel like I have a few reasons not to like him, but then I have a few reasons to like him. And so I just feel like the left keeps finding reasons that are irrelevant to hate him, to try to keep the hate flame burning.
Yep. And keep him from doing good things.
So they're over here. All they have on him is he's orange. He's got small hands. He's not qualified for the job. And that he's racist, and the Stormy Daniels thing. And so the thing that I saw today about Stormy Daniels is this guy that I have on Facebook as a friend, which I kind of just have him as a friend now just to see the outrageous things he says because he's a crazy liberal.
Is he really?
He is.
Oh, gosh.
So he goes, how you get 20 years of plastic surgery and your obese, spray-tanned 75-year-old husband is still cheating on you. And he shared the ABC News' headline that says, First Lady's Office Pushes Back Against the Stormy Daniels Comment. Who cares? I don't care.
Well, no.
No.
And if he's a liberal, what did he think about John Kennedy?
Right.
Having affairs.
Right.
Before president, while he was in office.
Like I said, Trump's an immoral person. We all knew that before he got here. He's obscene. He's vulgar. He's blunt. He's definitely not the nicest person ever. He's going to say rude things. He's going to do things that are not morally correct. And I mean, what do you expect from a atheist? He claimed to be an atheist not too long ago. He's not bringing religion into, he's not going to claim to be a good Christian and not have affairs and all that good stuff and then do it behind the scenes. He doesn't care if you know, honestly.
Right.
He probably cares about this as much as I care about it, which is zilp, nothing. And it's honestly not the kind of news that we need to be pushing in mainstream media. But that's all mainstream media is going to push.
You know, it's funny that the attorney, she's got a new attorney now, Stormy does.
Mm-hmm.
And her attorney that first filed the claims and that is suing her now. Because all he said, he admitted, all he ever tried to do was to sue the president to get money for her. And so now he's suing her for defamation of character. It's all a blooming game.
It is. It's just so ridiculous that this is deemed relevant news.
Right.
I'd rather see a cat get rescued from a tree.
Yeah. Most people would. Nobody cares about this anymore.
I don't care. And the fact that it's still circulating Facebook is disgusting. Talk about what's going on overseas in the Middle East.
Right.
Talk about Venezuela, like I keep mentioning. We're not seeing any important stuff that's going on. And so anyway, that's my thoughts on the Stormy Daniels thing. So I did have a topic that I wanted to talk to you guys about. It has to do with our social programs. Like I said, with immigration, they come here for our social programs. And, you know, when people bring up Denmark and stuff like that, we all say we wish, not we all, but people here are like, we should go there because they have the most helpful programs, which are social programs. And so that's what people are looking for when they're fleeing their country, trying to go to a different country, if it's going to benefit them better. So anyway, I want to talk about how these social programs that we have incentivize single parents, especially single mothers. I mean, I'm not saying that anyone chooses to be a single parent. I mean, I guess you can if you like leave your family, you choose to be a single parent, if that makes sense. But, you know, like nobody chooses to have the other parent walk out.
No.
So you have a lot of single mothers. I mean, single fathers are there too. I'm not trying to say they aren't. But I'm going to just talk about single mothers and just, guys, know that it applies to single fathers as well. So I strongly believe that our social programs incentivize single motherhood. You have all these fathers out here who feel it. They have less guilt of leaving, A, because the mother can go to the government and get pretty much anything she wants from them. And yes, you have to be a certain income level to try to get things from the government, but that just incentivizes her to not work. Mm-hmm. And so you got this not working single mother living off the government because they want to help single mothers, they say. They want to help them. But they're not really helping them. All they're doing is keeping them poor. All they're doing is keeping them down. And I really think that these social programs feed into the woe is me, I'm a single parent. What's the word? Not stereotype, but characteristic, mm-hmm. I guess, that you see constantly. These women are like, I have it so bad, though. I'm a single parent, blah, 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 which means I can't do X, Y, or Z. And really, that's not stopping you from doing anything. You have a family to provide for. So get off your butt and go do something about it. I'm sorry that this person left you and it's a really bad situation for you. And you may not have money right now. But what you do is you got to find a support system. Find a support system that'll help you get on your feet. Watch your kids, friends that'll watch your kids for you, whatever, that your kids go to school with. While you try to get back on your feet. And if you have to work three jobs, you have to work three jobs. I'm a single parent. I have three jobs. Why? Because I have a child to provide for. I think people use the single parent title as a way to feel bad for themselves. And that only keeps you down. And it stops you from bettering yourself. And it shouldn't do that. It should make you want to be better. It should make you feel empowered that you're overcoming such a hurdle. That you don't need anyone to help you. That you can do it all by yourself. Like, yeah, you have your support system. But I'm saying family-wise, your nuclear family, that you don't need anybody there. And so if we get rid of these social programs, A, I think we would see a decrease in single parents in split up families, because then there's more guilt placed on the leaving party. Because the more guilt that there is to be thrown the less likely they're going to leave, because it's hard to live with guilt. But if there's something in place that makes them know, oh, they're going to be taken care of somehow, hopefully, that takes a weight off their shoulder. They can sleep at night better. And I'm not saying all of the problem will be solved, because there are just some bad people in the world that are still going to do that regardless, that aren't going to feel bad, even if there is nothing to take care of you.
Yeah.
But I really do think that social programs incentivize single parents. And it's just, it's really sad to see that people take bad situations and just make them worse.
You know, daycare isn't a long period of time. And I can even see, I know we're talking about a social program, but I can see if the child care was provided for, maybe even by an employer, you know, but you have to work to get it. So if you don't work, then that stops and you don't get anything, no benefits or anything. Because like you said, one of the things about working is you're out in the world and you feel better about yourself. You make friends. You have a chance to you know, better yourself, because you you're just out in the world and you feel better.
You're a productive member of society. Right, you're productive.
And, you know, if you sit home and you do nothing, that's going to pass down to your kids. And that's why it's a generational system today.
Yes. And not, I mean, there are certain instances, like my case is strange. I mean, I have one party of my family that just lived off the government and never did anything. And then I had, strangely enough, my dad, who was the working man who did everything he had to provide for me. And honestly, that's where I get all my qualities from. And I'm glad I didn't get it from my other party of my family. So there's a reason why I lived with one parent and not the other. Mm-hmm. But my dad was thrown into a situation where he had to be a single dad, and he used that to, he used it as a driving force. He had to support me, and no one else was going to do it for him. And he did everything. He would work long hours, and then after that, he would do scrap metal. He would go around on the weekends, find a whole bunch of like free stuff on the side of the road. If any of it was metal, he'd throw it in the truck. He'd come home with truckload after truckload with his little Ford Ranger. And he would spend hours after doing all that manual labor, getting things in the truck and then off the truck. The next day, he'd spend hours taking them apart for the stuff he could scrap. And he'd make like a second living off of that.
Really?
And it's absolutely incredible. And that's what he did when he needed to do it. And it helped out a lot. And that really just shows that you can find something, you can make your situation better. And if you're given a bad situation, you can't give in to it. You have to overcome it. Yes, it sucks. Yes, you're gonna feel really bad here and there, but you have to use every drop of strength that you have to get over it. And you know, the world keeps going. You're gonna have to face that problem, and going to the government is not the answer. Taking money from other people is not the answer, because that's exactly what these social programs are. And like you said, with the daycare thing, I think that's absolutely great if an employer provides daycare if you're working for it. Not the government providing it, but private businesses mm-hmm. providing it. That's a great idea. And so that would be something that could change the way that we provide daycare for low-income families. Obviously, they would have to make a little bit somehow, because they can't just work completely for daycare, or else it would be...
Oh, no, not working for daycare, but that could be like a benefit.
Yeah.
For them, you know, to to work.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they may not make an awful lot of money per hour, let's say, but the business will provide free daycare for you, and it's helping the business. And let's face it, how many adults, you know what I mean? I think you could, that would be a great system to work out.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I remember in my public policy class in college, we had to come up with a public policy reform paper, whatever it was called, the assignment was called. And someone came up with a childcare help policy thing. And part of it was, well, how are you going to get the funding to give childcare to single parents? And they said, we'll tax people. And this is the problem that we are experiencing right now, is that we live in a society that has a government that their every go-to answer is tax people.
Mm-hmm.
Just tax the people. They'll pay for it. And we give into it. We don't ever fight it. And so we're raising children in that society where that's, once they start growing up a little bit, that's what they see happens. And so their answer is tax the people. And it's just this continuous cycle, generation after generation, just tax the people, tax the people.
Well, sure. I read an article this week that California has so many taxes. You know, we think we are bad in New York, but California, I mean, like gasoline is $5 and
they have the worst taxes.
Right. That I think they said that they took a survey. I mean, I don't know how many people, but 40% of Californians want to leave the state. They want to move out because it's so expensive to live there, even if you have a good job. And, you know, they said the Midwest is so wide open, you know, there's so much property in the U.S. yet that
that's still not claimed. Yeah.
Right. And I mean, that's saying a lot about
a state,
about a state taxing people so much that you want to move from your home. I mean,
I don't
want to
be in New York. Yeah. I don't want to be here.
Well, we need somebody to rein in some things. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's ways that we don't have to pay such high taxes.
Definitely. But, and a lot of it is getting rid of these social programs.
Yeah.
And actually, I can't release any names or anything because confidentiality of where I work. But we had an instance where we had a bad customer with what we do with my business, and I did like a little Google search on this customer, and her sister and mother, they were all charged with felonies last December, I believe, for frauding the state government of New York out of $6,000 for childcare expenses that were never expended, that they never used. Like, the girl that had the kids said her sister and her mom were watching them, and that she had to pay him X amount, and then this is what it came to by a certain amount of time. And then they did an investigation into it and found out that the sister and the mother were actually working during those times that said childcare was happening, and the sister and the mother also agreed that they were watching the children. So it was like this group effort. They stole $6,000 from the state government, $6,000 that came out of our pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, split up amongst everybody is like fractions of pennies, but still
that's one example.
That
how many are
that's
there?
Just one. How many are there? Exactly. And something that these social programs also that they decentivize, which I've said a few times, is people being charitable. People aren't charitable because we pay into social programs. And if we got rid of these, there would be nothing that the government could hand out to these people that need help, that regular citizens would feel bad for them. And guess what? They have the money to give to you if they have it, and they'll give it to you because they feel bad, or they'll send you to a church or organization that does something for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so social programs incentivize single parents they decentralize charity, and it decentralizes working because you have to be at that certain income level. And not only does social programs decentralize working, but taxes, income taxes, decentralize working. So you're telling me if I work more, you're going to take more money?
That's why I believe that we also talked about this, I think, before. What do they call it now? Steve Forbes, the national tax. You pay a tax on anything you buy. Anything you make is not taxed. Okay, so what, you know, there's billions of dollars paid to people under the table. That wouldn't matter anymore because you're only taxed when you spend the money. I think it's like 17%. So let's say
you buy.
Right. Let's say you buy a canoe. You would pay 17%.
So like a flat tax.
A flat tax on that canoe. Well, John over here runs a huge company and he buys a yacht.
He's going to pay
17% because there's no write-offs either. I mean, he can't write that off as a business expense or anything. So what does it makes money. People can save more of their own money
because
without paying taxes on it. Yeah.
It's you don't have to buy that and pay that 17% tax.
Exactly.
And if you want it, you have to pay that tax. That's a choice you get to make. And it's a voluntary action.
That's right.
Whereas your income tax is not voluntary. And if you don't pay those taxes, legally, they could force you into a cage.
That's right.
You could be put in a cage.
Take everything away that you have.
Yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous that we're putting people in cages for not agreeing to have their hard-earned money taken from them.
See, then they become homeless. And then what happens?
And we pay for them to be
for all the social programs that they'll be on.
And we pay for them to be put in jail. And that brings up prison for reform and reform with jails and stuff. We shouldn't be locking people up for nonviolent crimes and paying for them to be there. We shouldn't be paying to have addicts in prison or in jail if they're not doing anything violent to other people. So you're not going to put an alcoholic in jail,
right?
Why should we be putting other addicts in jail? That's their problem. And if they're not violently outbursting and hurting people, that's a problem they have to deal with. And prison is not proven to be any type of rehabilitation. They go, they serve their sentence, they come out, they do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. And these people get beat up in there too.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people were doing were coping, trying to cope with something going on in their life.
Right.
And now you got them in prison.
And if somebody's in there for a long period of time, when they come out, society's changed so much, they can't handle it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, and there's always a stigma if they go to get a job.
Yep, because I mean, it's hard for them to get a job, yeah, and then they're on these programs.
That's right.
And it's just this cycle. The government really has figured it out how to keep people needing them. It's they want you to need them because then you have to agree to what they want to do and you have to obey what they want to do because you are their slave if you're on all these programs and everything. You are owned by the government and they take care of your life to a certain extent.
Yeah. You know, there was an interesting thing that happened last week. Kim Kardashian went to President Trump. Did you
about
prison that?
Reform? Yeah.
About the lady that was in prison. She's been in there for a lot of years and they had never had evidence that she did. I don't know if it was a drug thing or whatever. They never had any evidence that she did it. And she was in for life. And so I guess Trump had a team of attorneys look at the case and go back to the trial transcripts and that. And I think he's pardoned her this week. I mean, there's a lot of people in prison that don't belong there.
Absolutely.
And you had mentioned that a couple shows back.
Yeah, with that one guy that was put in for murder.
Right.
Put in for life, who never committed the murder. There was no evidence at all. And he wasn't connected to the murder at all.
And he died.
No,
right?
No.
Oh, he didn't.
He got
die.
Let out.
Oh, he was let out?
Yeah,
okay.
He's been in there. I think I said he was in there for, it's been 10 years.
Yeah.
Almost 10 years. 2019 would be 10 years. He was convicted in 2009. And so there's how many people are wrongly in prison, A? Mm. And B, how many nonviolent crimes do we have sitting in prison? And then these people get so used to being taken care of, too. They come out and don't know how to take care of themselves.
Right.
And that's a whole nother problem. And it's also more likely that after being in prison for a long period of time that you come out and you have a drug problem. Mm-hmm. Trying to cope with being in there and then coming out to society. And so that just gives into the war on drugs and an excuse for the war on drugs. And it's just this crazy cycle.
Yep.
That the government has figured out. They have it down to a T. They know what they're doing. And honestly, I didn't read the Kim Kardashian article. I saw the headlines about it, but I didn't read it because I don't follow the Kardashians. And I'm like, oh, what is this mumbo jumbo?
Yeah, I really don't follow her either. I don't care for them. But I know she has been for a year or two now has been trying to get somebody to look at the case because, you know, it's just one of her things that she was trying to, a cause that she was trying to do.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you're going to find people that speak out against it and say, oh, it's for publicity. Okay. Even if it is for publicity or whatever, for her to get her name in the news or speak with the president or whatever, she's bringing light to a topic.
Well, they've already, like on CNN, they were making jokes about, oh, Kardashian's bubble butt went to the White House and Trump is listening to Hollywood stars now. And I mean, you know, you can do a lot of good and still get demeaned by people. And
like, who cares what the
right
her agenda is for it?
As long as justice was served.
Right. So, I mean, she probably definitely had an agenda for it. Or maybe she cares about this person or the issue. Who knows? Who knows what her agenda is? But it does bring light to the topic that people are wrongly in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And the media just doesn't pick up on it like that.
No.
They don't. And that's why I keep saying you need to go to alternative media. And we need to get more voices out here and we need to infiltrate the mainstream media.
Yeah.
We need a media revolution.
Yeah, we do.
We need to get all this alternative news, and that's actually talking about relevant issues, like social programs incentivizing single parents. It's pushed
But you do need... see, the media is not the media anymore. I mean, they used to give the news... And they make it up now.
Mm-hmm.
Because who's going to do any of this?
The politicians are
right. But the politicians aren't going to do anything to correct this.
No.
Because, I mean, they're too busy trying to figure out ways to make money for themselves or to get reelected. I mean, there are serious problems.
They're too busy worrying about regime change in the Middle East.
Now, you're talking about some serious issues that our country has, but... Who is going to take the time? Because it's going to take time. Who's going to take time to do it?
Right.
I mean, but it has to be done. So if it's somebody like a Kim Kardashian or a church group that goes and, you know, tries to fight for rights, so what? Who cares if they're doing it the right?
If they're doing something good, just let them do it.
That's right.
Just let them do it. Something I did want to talk about here. So I've been for my listeners, I've been thinking about starting up a like a new Snapchat. I know I'm trying to get out on social media platforms. I've been kind of quiet on Facebook lately with the Facebook page, but that's because I get busy. And then on the weekends I'm doing stuff because it's nice out. It's not cold
You're
anymore.
You're a big fisher woman.
And so, yeah, the two rock basses that I caught, I think were the same. Big catches. So I'm thinking about, and I want your input on this, I'm thinking about making a new Snapchat, probably like a Shakedown Shan or something like that. And it's going to, I don't know, a lot of you are probably familiar with Snapchat, but you'll be able to see my stories. I'm not going to add you as a friend that can chat with me, but I'll add you as a friend that can see my stories of like what I do in my free time, maybe some cool behind the scenes working on show stuff that I do at home with like notes and research. But I was thinking about doing that, but there's going to be some stipulations. You're only going to be accepted to see the background of my life and get to know me a little bit better if you invite 10 friends to the Facebook page and they like it and they can't take that like back. And I mean, it's voluntary, you don't have to do that. And okay, cool. But it's going to be a way to get my name out to 10 more people each, of anybody who's interested in seeing. If you're interested in knowing more about me and seeing behind the scenes stuff for the show, you'll do it. And if you do that, that gets 10 more people that hear about the show, that hear about my name, and maybe they'll do it too. Or maybe I'll have a few of my core listeners do it. And that's going to say I have 5 core listeners that do it, and they get 10 people to like the page. That's 50 people.
Mm-hmm.
That's 50 more people that hear about the show and that we spread the ideas of liberty to, which are really great ideas, like the non-aggression principle and freedom of choice and your rights and all that other good stuff that comes with it that we talk about every single week.
How about if like one person... in a period of time, like a month, has sent so many, you know, maybe we could have them sit in on a show.
Yeah, if they're local. We could pull them up on the phone, which I know you guys keep saying you want to call in, but then you never do.
Yeah.
I think they could be on the show
through the phone.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, if they, somebody gives you 50 friends or whatever, you know, we can do that.
Yeah. So I need your guys' help to help promote the show. I know a lot of you say you really like it. You like what I'm doing. I actually have someone that follows the show. I commented on his Facebook post the other day about vegetarian burgers. And he goes, "It's Shakedown Shan. I love your show." And like, so that's great. That's great. I like that you guys like what we're putting out. But if you want the message and the ideas that we talk about in just this alternative news source to be spread and you want other people to hear about it, you really got to help me out here. I'm only one person. I can only do so much. And like I said, I do lead a very busy life. And so I really need help from listeners to just get the word out there. I said I was going to be live today on Facebook, which unfortunately my computer's not letting me do that. And anyway, said that I was going to be recording today, and I had some people share that post and say that I hope other people listen in. And so I'm thinking about the Snapchat idea, that if you guys want extra content, stuff like that, behind the scenes, whatever, I'll be willing to do that, but only if you guys are willing to put in a little bit of effort. And I think I'll see some results from that. I'm now heard in 25 states.
Excellent.
Half of them. At least one person in half of the states. And so it's really great. It's exciting. And I enjoy being here with you guys every week. And I hope we can do some really great things soon.
Yeah.
And
you got a lot of things going on, because you're going to be here for years and get as many people involved.
Yeah, we I definitely want to keep sticking with this and just keep bringing you guys my ideas and applying libertarian views to it, and trying to get people that may be libertarian, just don't know it yet, on board with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always willing to hear opposing viewpoints too. Don't be afraid to send those to me.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, if someone has an opinion, you can probably give them the outlook of a libertarian on that issue.
Yeah.
Not that they're wrong in thinking what they are, but you may give them something to think about.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. You know, discussion is good as long as you don't beat up.
Right.
A person.
Exactly.
But no, that I think that's great what you're doing.
Yeah. And so a little side note I wanted to say. I know I talked about social programs and how they incentivize people to be lazy and just be woe is me. I want to throw this out there that no, I don't think you're a terrible person if you're on social programs because you're in a really bad situation or whatever. I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm not. I know I keep saying, oh, you're taking money from people, you're stealing from people, blah, 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 blah. Okay, but you might be a really good person and you just don't know. You don't realize, not that you don't know, but you don't realize that you think it's money coming from the government. But guess what? The government doesn't have money. That money comes from the people. And so a lot of people that are on welfare or whatever are in social programs don't realize that they're stealing from people. And so I want to get the message out there, and maybe people can start like seeing things differently. Like, I'm going to tell you guys that a few years back, I mean, I haven't been libertarian forever, obviously, but a few years back I was like, oh, social programs seem like a pretty good idea. Until I learned that the government doesn't have any real money and that it comes from other people. I'm like, wait, they're taking this from other people? That's not right. And so once I learned that, that changed my outlook on it all. And so, I mean, we're not trying to fight battles. We're trying to inform people and get them to think differently. And so I don't want to sound like I'm bashing people and telling you, oh, you're bad if you ask the government for money. Maybe you just don't understand what you're asking them to do. And so what we got to try to do is we got to shed light on these issues, tell them what it really is, what's really going on, and just get the truth out there. And we'll start to see people come around, hopefully. I mean, not maybe just... I'm not going to start turning people around right away, right, or whatever. But I mean, the more of the people that we have spreading the same idea and the same
message,
the more more people are going to hear it. And that's going to get people thinking, and it's going to be a good thing.
And the more they can engage other people in nice, right, discussion and let them think about things. And, that's how you start. I think that's how you're going to have to start things in this country now, because you can't count on the politicians to do anything.
They can't do anything.
They're too ingrained in
except
money.
Larry Sharp.
That's right.
Except
that's
Larry,
right,
Sharp.
And who is Larry Sharp again?
He's running for governor of New York on the Libertarian ballot. And I just actually got an email to sign up to help with petitions to get Libertarian on statewide ballots. Mm-hmm. So we can vote third party. And so starting July, I think I'll be working on that petition. Gotta get some signatures and stuff. So vote Larry Sharp.
Who can sign a petition?
Anybody.
Okay.
I'm gonna be going around getting signatures. I've gotta get something like 700 a day.
700 a day?
No, it's not 700. They broke it down to if they need X amount and they had 100 people doing the petitions, it would be X amount, and okay. I don't remember. I'll have to come back with those numbers, but maybe it was 70.
But that's across the state, right?
I mean, if
he's
you
got
had
people across the state.
If you had 100 people working on it, I think they needed 70 signatures a day. But okay. That's only with 100 people.
Right. So
you might have more than that.
Well, I'm sure.
Cut that down. And so I signed up to work on it. And so be looking forward to that in July.
Well, you know a couple people that'll sign it.
Yeah. I mean, and every signature counts.
Yeah.
Really. Especially in these state races. So anyway, Larry Sharp, he's going to be in Middleburg tomorrow. And I was going to go to that. And unfortunately, I can't make it. So if you can go, he'll be there. He'll be there with craft beer from 4:30 to 6:30 at some brewery in Middleburg. I forgot the name of.
Yeah, I know. You've been saying it.
I've been saying it. And I haven't mentioned it in a few weeks. But I can't make it, unfortunately. So anyway, vote Larry Sharp. And I think that is all that I have for you guys today. And so I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend.